thought I'd come down here today. Sometimes I stay on the platform. Just want to talk to you from my heart today. I have been just grieved the last few days. And it's deeper than an emotional thing. And I believe it has to do with revelation of where we are in our country and the where we're headed. If you've attended church here much, you know that I believe that we live in the season of the return of Christ. I believe we live in the season, pre-tribulation season, that we're nearing the tribulation period. I don't profess to know all the details of that stuff. I've studied a lot, Bible prophecy, but there's others who know a lot more than I do about it. But I want to be in the mood that God's in. And the last couple of days, I've been especially grieved at the Supreme Court decision. I think it is a turn in the corner. I think we're turning the corner on something. I think it's far more significant than people realize. It's not about arguing anything politically. It's about what God established from creation. God did an awesome thing in the Garden of Eden when He formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed in his breath, breathed the breath of life into him, and he became a living soul. And then he put him into a deep sleep and took a rib and made woman. Ish and Isha. And he, after every day of creation, said, "This is good." In the Hebrew, that means this is right, this is proper. I believe that God intended to be modeled to our families. The divine architect planned that we model God's love through the role of the mother and father. This thing's deeper than a lot of the surface talk of our day. We know there aren't scores of godly Christian families, but God still intended for us to have a model. The man was to be the priest of the home, the protector, model the protection of God. The initiator, the motivator, the leader. Woman was to show the unconditional love that only a mother can show. The mercy that a mother will always show regardless of the mistakes we make. And man and woman together were to model who God is. Two mamas can't do that. Two daddies can't do that. This is bigger than just the stuff they're talking about. We're messing with stuff we shouldn't be messing with. I can't put into words the heaviness and spirit I have had. And that's for a reason. I'm not falling apart or having a bad spell with my nerves. I've been through all that stuff. I've been through lots of things in my life. I've been at death's door several times, both by threatening with guns. Had my life threatened many times. Both by the great enemy of cancer, the plague of our day. So I'm not just going through some emotional time right now, but it's deeper than that. Even though he's not running for president, and don't know that he should, I appreciate what Rick Santorum said. He said, I was grieved in spirit. Thought that was interesting. Senator Rick Santorum said, I'm grieved in spirit. Second Thessalonians 2 says there'll be strong delusion and they'll believe a lie. Man, if you can't see that, you got blinders on. If you can't see that, you got blinders on. That they'll believe a lie. Strong delusion. They'll believe a lie. So, I'm going to try to get through this, but I do have a burden here, if I can spit it out. Matthew 24. Brian shared some of that in our song, When Messiah Comes. Lord gave me that song a few weeks ago, and I believe it for the ministry to my own heart as much as anyone. Matthew 24. I'm going to actually start with verse 3. It says, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him and said, tell us, when will this happen and what will be the signs of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. Interesting, that's the first thing he said. Before he talked about wars and rumors of wars and famines and pestilence and all the difficulties, he said, take heed that no man deceive you. I'm telling you, deception's the big thing. And the church as a whole is going to get sucked into it. It's happening before our eyes. We're seeing things in my lifetime I never dreamed we would see. Things I preached about 25 years ago in prophecy seminars, but honestly didn't know that I would see it in my lifetime. Rebellion to authority is at a level I've not seen. There's a division coming in the church of Jesus Christ. There's a division coming that has to happen because God's called not a remnant. And if you're going to be in the remnant, you can't go along with everything else. Then there's going to be people that misinterpret the calling out and become militant. And you got some of those. And angry and nasty. No. And we're going to burn down buildings to prove our point. We're going to burn all the abortion clinics. The true remnant will, in the midst of tribulation, be full of mercy and grace for those who need Jesus. They'll be full of mercy and grace in offering the gospel and loving people despite who they are and what they are, but not compromising. And that's going to be a select few. Mark my words. Not because they're mine, but because they're truth. Let me go back over that. Most are going to get sucked in to all the liberal thinking and all the stuff that is anti-God. It's deplorable. It is no wonder in Revelation, when speaking of the one world religion, I believe that's accurate interpretation, when speaking of the one world religion that's coming, it's referred to in the old English as the great whore or the great prostitute. Because she sleeps with everybody. As opposed to the bride of Christ. Discreet. Oh, we got a religion now, sleeps with everybody. You can do anything, it's a catch-all. It's got every fish in the net you can find. That isn't Jesus, what Jesus taught. Jesus said, narrow is the gate that leads to life, and few there'll be that find it. Did he say that or didn't he? We live in a day of deception. Many are going to get sucked into that. There are those, though, that God will call, and they'll answer the call. And my prayer is that you and I will be in that. My prayer is that there'll be a fair percentage all over Miami County, all over Cass County, and on that'll call the universal church that comes out and is a remnant. But there is a division coming that has to happen. Everybody thinks, oh, division's a bad word. Well, sometimes divisions have to happen.
But we have to lovingly, with the Spirit of Christ, and with a compassion for lost people, and a mercy, for God wants to save multitudes during the tribulation period. Did you know that in the opening of the fifth seal, where it says, I saw the souls of the martyrs under the altar, it says, who are these? These are they who came out of great tribulation. There's going to be masses of people saved during the tribulation, people. And somebody needs to be a beacon. Somebody needs to be a light and participate in that. And I want to be involved in that as God wants me. And how the rapture fits into that, we're not sure exactly when the rapture. No man knows the day or the hour. But as long as we're here, I want to be a beacon of mercy and truth here on 31 beside this highway. But there is a division coming, because you're going to have to state where you stand. And there are things that are being compromised on that were God's very intent for mankind, and they're rooted in the Garden of Eden. And this is bigger than they're even talking about. Altering what God intended for man and his purpose to illustrate the love of a father and mother in the life of a child to ultimately bring them to the Lord. And to I said on Father's Day last Sunday that a child is likely to find a father in God if he's seen God in his father. And the love of a mother illustrates beautifully the love of the Savior. Be not deceived, Jesus said first. Take heed that no one deceive you. For many shall come and say, I am Christ. Here's the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Many will come and say, here's the way. Here's the way. No, it's the way. Here's the way over here. Here's the truth. And many will be deceived. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled. All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there'll be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted, and I believe this is specifically for the Jewish people, but also can apply to Christians as well. Then you were spiritual Israel. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you'll be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then will the end come. Now I'm going to jump down to verse 21. Then shall be tribulation like never was or ever shall be. And if those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if it were possible. Verse 26. So if anyone tells you, there he is out in the desert, don't go out. Or here he is in the inner room, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes out of the east and is visible even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever there is a carcass, the vultures will gather. Immediately after the distress of those days, and I believe this is at the opening of the sixth seal, matches Revelation. I believe Matthew 24 is an outline of the book of Revelation, really. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give her light, and the stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. And at that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all nations of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. So when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass till all be fulfilled. Of course, I share this opinion with many, 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 and many who are a lot smarter than I am. But I believe that's a very significant verse. This generation will not pass till all be fulfilled. course, there's been fussing over the years about how long is a generation. Israel became a nation, 1947, 1948 was the time period when all that was worked out. 1948, the flag was raised. I remember my mother talking about hearing on the radio that they had raised the Star of David, and she was moved because Daddy was a prophecy preacher. A lot of people thought Hitler was the Antichrist. Now, that's understandable. Killed 6 million Jews. Come on. Don't be too hard on them. I mean, I could see thinking Hitler was the Antichrist. And they worshipped him. Hail Hitler. Mom said she used to hear on the old-fashioned radio that they had in the house. She said, I would have chills down my back as you would hear crowds hollering, Hail Hitler, Hail Hitler. And he killed 6 million Jews. I mean, I can understand why people thought Hitler was the Antichrist, but my daddy was on top of it. He was a gifted man prophetically, and he said that there's some things haven't been fulfilled yet. Hitler can't be the Antichrist. Stay close to Scripture. Stay close to home. Walk with the Lord, and He'll always bring you home. I got that above my door. One of you bought that for me when we moved into our new house. Walk with the Lord, and He'll always bring you home. Stay close to home. Stay close to God's Word. Stay close to those stable and precious things. I want to be part of the remnant. Are you with me? I want to be part of the remnant. It's not going to be popular anymore. Back in the 70s and 80s, it was popular to be a Christian. Everybody on the street in Chicago wore a What Would Jesus Do bracelet. It was a popular thing. How quickly things change. You could roll out your mat this morning in Walmart as a Muslim and pray on your face, and people would cheer, and they'd have the news media there. But if you're a Christian and speak out about something, you're going to go to jail in about 5 minutes. Isn't it amazing how things change? Did you hear about the girl overseas? In Afghanistan, in the U.S. military, living in an army bunkhouse. And she taped the verse up on the wall that said, no weapon against me will prosper. Trust in Jesus. I'm going to prosecute her. Having a scripture verse on the wall. This is a U.S. government area. In the world. Ever dreamed we'd live to see some of the things that are happening in our day. Be not deceived is the first thing Jesus said. And we could go lots of directions with this. But I do want to say something about this generation will not pass. How long is a generation? You know, there's men that over the years have said it's 40 years because the children of Israel all died off and then 40 years later they entered the promised land. So a generation's 40 years. I've always kind of leaned towards 70 years because it says in the scripture that your lifespan is 70. If by reason of strength, 80. In the Old English of the King James, 80 was 20. So 70 is 60. 20, 40, 60. And 10 is 70. So it says, I'll give you 70 years, or if by reason of strength, possibly 80. So I've always kind of leaned on that verse, thinking that a generation's probably 70 years, 70 to 80 years. So, you know, no man knows the day or the hour, but I know if Israel became a nation, if that's what that means, the fig tree budded. And I know in the book of Joel, when God spoke out, He said, you have barked my fig tree and called Israel His fig tree. That's found in the book of Joel. It says here, this generation shall not pass till all is fulfilled. Boy, if that's true, we're getting pretty close. I don't know. No man knows the day or the hour. But I know that the coming of Christ is on the horizon. And He said you would know the season. In fact, He even rebuked him and said, you can read the weather. Why can't you read the season? Jesus said, you can look up and say, oh, there's a storm coming. You can read the sky. Why can't you read the signs? The main thing I want to hit this morning is Jesus' admonition to not be deceived. And then I want to read 2 Thessalonians 2:11. It says, for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, and they will believe a lie. God's going to let them, because they're so insistent. If you go back and read, because they're so insistent on following the devil, the verses prior to that are about the coming of the Antichrist, the man of sin, the world leader that's going to arise, that's the mighty problem solver. Boy, the way is being set for that, isn't it? Somebody that can fix this mess. And the devil's got somebody tailored to do that. And the man of sin be revealed. And it goes on to talk about how they'll be deceived. And then it says God's going to just let them go ahead. And He's going to send strong delusion and they'll believe a lie. I begin making a list of lies that I think people believe, and it's quite a list. Will come out in messages in the future, I'm sure, but I want to spend a little bit of time on that this morning. I was disturbed deeply this week. I had someone contact me. And they told me how thrilled they were. And I love this person. They told me how thrilled they were that our president had given such an awesome sermon and eulogy at the funeral for the pastor who was shot. And so I wanted to see it myself. So I saw it. And how that he led the entire congregation in amazing grace. Some of you may have seen that. And put on a sermon somewhat of a Southern Baptist pastor style as the people cheered and hollered amen. And this person that I love was so impressed with that and moved and made the statement that no president we've ever had she's ever heard do something like that. And as clear as anything, God spoke to me and said, a fountain cannot give off sweet and bitter water. James chapter 6. The same day. You can't sing Amazing Grace and speak of the truths of God and the same day light up the courthouse with special lighting and call the Supreme Court and glorify them for a decision that is wrong clear back to creation. They will believe a lie. And as I read the words of this Christian that I love, as clear as anything, I haven't read in James for months. That's not a book I've studied for a while. I love the book of James, but it's not a book I've studied for a while. God spoke to me and said, a fountain cannot give off sweet and bitter water. If we're not deceived, I don't know what we are. You can't light up the courthouse with colors glorifying same-sex marriage. That is absolutely against, from the beginning of creation, the principles of God. You're tampering with the very example of what God is supposed to be through the mother and father. You cannot do that. The same day you sing Amazing Grace. But you will be surprised at the thousands that will be swayed by that. Be not deceived. Lies. I've got three. The first one applies to what I just said. Here's a lie that people believe. I can pick the parts of the Bible I want to believe because it's up to me. I can believe in God's amazing grace. Oh, it's amazing. Is that grace amazing? It is amazing. I saw people in this congregation this morning that's absolutely amazing what God's done in their life. Can a person come in here in the worst shape that you could ever imagine in moral depravity and come to Christ and receive a clean slate? Absolutely. We shout it every Sunday. Can you be totally and completely forgiven? Absolutely. Can you be totally, completely forgiven from the ugliest of sin and moral depravity? Absolutely. That's true. But people want to pick and choose what they believe. I'm going to believe this part about Calvary, but I'm not going to believe this part about marriage. And I'm going to believe this part about communion and divine healing, but I'm not going to believe this part about secret sin and pornography. And so we pick and choose like a cherry tree the stuff we want to believe. Pardon my English, but it don't work that way. It don't work that way. Now, I realize this can thin out the attendance. I realize that. But I'm going to tell you something. It's going to thin out anyway. It's going to thin out anyway. I'm talking universally. It's going to thin out because we're going to have to say where we stand. Am I going to stand lovingly? Not militantly. Don't get sucked in by the militants. See, that's what messes everything up. You got these clowns that come along, get all militant, and they're going to burn everything. Now, you live by the sword, you're going to perish by the sword. I don't understand why Christians can't see that. That ruins everyone. Jesus Christ took a stand and said exactly how it was, and he told those cities, you're going to burn like Sodom and Gomorrah did. You remember that? When he called out some of the cities, he said, you're going to burn like Sodom and Gomorrah did. But when the woman was caught in adultery that wanted to leave her life of sin, he said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. The remnant, the true remnant, is full of mercy and compassion and calling the lost and wanting them here. We had someone who was upset at us because of our stand on the same-sex marriage. And this person said, well, you took in drug addicts to the rescue resort. And I said, yes, but we didn't let them bring the drugs with them. Jesus said, confess and forsake your sins. Hello? This is about change. This is about new creation in Christ. Jesus doesn't say, come one, come all, and bring it all with you, and you can have it and have me too. No. Unless you take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Why, Jesus is discriminating. I'm not trying to be cute. I just had enough. Unless you take up your cross and follow me, you cannot. Oh, don't use the word cannot. Because if you use the word cannot, you're discriminating. Well, it says in Revelation chapter 20 that the small and great stand before God and the books should be opened and we will be judged out of the books. And there's going to be some cans and there's going to be some cannots. Anybody with me? We want to pick and choose what we want in the Bible. I like this one. I'll take it. I like this one. It don't work that way. The truth is, all Scripture is given by inspiration. It's God-breathed. It's God-breathed because it works. It's not about rules. It's because it works. I can't say that without smiling. I've tried that Scripture. I've tried it in the family. I've tried it in the marriage. It works. Christian principles are inspired of God and they work. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. Lies. I only got three, don't get worried. Well, we've got a whole bunch, but the Bible's filled with opinions and suggestions for life, but what's right and wrong for me is my decision. I like to have a dollar for every time I've heard that philosophy. I decide what's right. Well, who is exactly on the throne here? I decide who's right and wrong. Hello, it's God that's on the throne. It's not us. People say, This is my favorite. You're judging. It's already been judged. I'm just repeating what he said. Oh, get off that. I'm not talking to you. None of you have said that. I'm just irritated at society. Oh, I love that one. The big ball bat, the big judge ball bat. Bam! Oh, I've been hit with that a whole bunch of times. You're judging. No, I'm not. I'm repeating what's already been judged. Some things have already been decided. We don't have to have a committee meeting to see how many inches are in a foot. There's 12. We have a ruler. We have a standard. Bible's just a nice bunch of opinions and suggestions, and what's right and wrong is my decision. No, the Bible's full of commandments and mandates that we'll be judged by. And grace, oh, I love this part, grace is promised to live a life that honors and glorifies God. You can't do it on your own. I can't do it on my own. Titus 2, 11 through 14 says, "Now the grace of God hath appeared unto us, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live holy, righteous lives right in the midst of this present generation, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." As we're looking toward the coming of Jesus Christ, we got to have the grace to live, because we can't do it by ourselves. And grace is there, but there's truth, and there's commandments, and there's mandates. And Revelation 20 says, I have it there, 20:12, that will stand before God and the books will be opened. And may I suggest to you today that He is the Lamb of God, but He's also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Lamb of God. He is the sacrificial Lamb. You can come up here and be the woman at the well, and you can be saved in 2 minutes if you'll just take it by faith, and you can have a clean slate. He is the Lamb, but He also is the Lion of Judah. And now is the day of salvation. Now, that's a scripture. You don't have it on there. Now is the day of salvation. So we're in the time of grace. We're in the dispensation of grace. Now you can be forgiven. But when He comes back, it ain't going to be on a donkey hiding somewhere. It's going to be on a white horse. Does that make sense? There's a Jesus that's a warrior. John, in the first chapter, I'll not turn to it, but John, in the very first chapter of Revelation, when he was given the revelation, he saw Jesus walk up behind him and he said, "I fell as a dead man." Whoa. We need to know who this Jesus is, and He's incredible. Did He die for our sins? Absolutely. Did He pay the ultimate price? Now is the day of salvation. Is now the door open as wide as it can be? Absolutely. But tell me, is this true or is it not true that in the parable of the five wise and five foolish virgins, it says that the door was shut? And there comes a time when He closes the door and we're past the time of salvation. Does that make sense? The Bible's filled with opinions about life. What's right and wrong is my decision. That's a lie. That's an absolute lie. All right, the last one, that's the one He's waiting on. I can attach Jesus to my life, praise Him every Sunday, but keep my old lifestyle, habits, and secret sin. Boy, if that isn't a popular viewpoint. We got congregations running over with thousands and thousands and thousands of people in America packed in there. You don't have to leave anything. I observed a service the other day where a popular minister that is praised and praised and praised, written all kind of books. He had Hindu and Muslim and Jew and Christian all up there on the platform. Come on. Division's coming. Division's coming. There's one name under heaven and earth where a man can be saved, and that's through Jesus Christ. And there's a lie out there that says, I can attach Jesus to my life. I can just take my life with all my selfishness and all my corruption and all my lust and all my stuff, and I can just hook Jesus onto it. He's going to ride along. I'm not trying to be cute. And forbid that I do that, because I feel a strong sense of reverence today in sharing all of this. But it has to be said. I can just attach Jesus. And I can come to church and just praise my head off and jump up and down. There's nothing wrong with that. My goodness, probably more than ever in this stressful world, we need to probably jump up and down in church. But Daddy used to say, I don't care how high you jump in my service, just walk straight when you come down. Daddy used to say that. I don't care how high you jump in your service, just walk straight when you come down. There's a lie out there that says, I can attach Jesus to my life. I can praise Him every Sunday. I can keep my old lifestyle. I can hang on to all my old habits, my old secret sins. What's the truth? I'm to repent of my sin. I'm to forsake my sin. I'm surrendering my will to His, and then I become a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, a new creation in Christ. Old things pass away, and all things become new. And it can happen, and it will happen, and He's no respecter of persons. Well, I need to wind down, but I'll steam anyhow. I think we need to be a little more willing to show our cards, folks. In the old days in Haiti when Daddy was there, voodoo was strong in Haiti. Okay, well, we're heading the same direction, just different titles, same direction. Voodoo was big in Haiti. It's changed. Christianity's made great inroads into Haiti, and now they estimate there's only 25 to 30% involved in voodoo. Well, I wouldn't say involved. Deep in voodoo. There is a Christianity there that's pretty corrupt that has both. Devil likes to blend things. But when Daddy was there, I mean, there was things like goats talking in meetings. There was some crazy, crazy stuff. Demonic. Voodoo was big. And because the break from voodoo was such a big thing, come out and be ye separate, the scripture says. Because break from voodoo was such a big thing, and incidentally, that 2 Corinthians, felt like I should say that. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, come out from among, be separate. Come out, come out, come out. Remnant, come out, come out, come out, be separate. Because voodoo was so big, man, baptism was the event. Because you came forward in a service and you were saved, but in Haiti, when Daddy was there, baptism was the big, big event. Because everybody knew you came from a country of voodoo. And for the baptism, they had you all come and dress alike, and you walked through town. And sometimes they'd walk 6-7 miles and walk through town past all the neighborhoods where they lived, and they'd walk to the river and sing all the way there. What you were doing is telling everybody, I'm out of there. Now, you know, we go to our little baptistry, and there's just me and the pastor, and nothing wrong with that. If you're sincere, don't let that be taken away from you by what I'm saying here. If you're sincere and you're truly devoted yourself to Christ at baptism and it was just your pastor and you, that's fine. But I'm saying I think there's value in the way they did it. They let it be known publicly, we are finished with that life. So they would go through town. I can remember Mom telling stories, and I've been there a few times when Mom and Dad were there and saw and seen baptism. And they would go through town. They'd be singing the songs that they sang in their worship service when they're singing them going down the street. And they would sing all the way to the river, and everybody's out watching. Some people are making fun. Some people are throwing stones at them, get out of here, because they're leaving the voodoo life. But what were they doing? They were doing a very important thing. They were drawing a line. We don't draw a line, therefore we keep stepping back across it. Anybody with me? We don't draw a line, so we keep stepping back across it. Baptism represents being saved is when you receive Jesus Christ, but baptism represents what you did. I often say to people who are going to be baptized, it's like baptism's like a wedding ring. A wedding ring doesn't make me married, but it shows I'm married. The vows made me married. The ring shows I'm married. Baptism isn't what saves you. It's coming to Jesus Christ, and that can be at baptism. But coming to Jesus Christ, opening your heart to Him, receiving Jesus Christ, and you're born again. But we got a baptism coming up. So I'm doing a little commercial here. We got a baptism coming up in August. And I almost wonder, you know, I don't know that we'll walk down 31 to Peru to the river, but I wonder sometimes if we shouldn't be more verbal, because those people taught us something there. They drew a bold line. And let the whole community know, I'm not part of that anymore. Come out from among them and be separate. Baptism, I'll just say another thing about that. Baptism symbolizes dying to your old life. Some people, what's baptism about? Right, good question. Many don't know. Churches have taught all kinds of things. It's this simple. Baptism, you go into the water, you can't breathe under there. We won't leave you under. You go under the water, that water closes over the top of you. That symbolizes dying to your past. The scripture says we're buried with Him in baptism. Then you come back up out of the water. That's symbolic of a new life we're starting over. And I think there is value in doing that publicly. And incidentally, people act too like baptism just no big deal. The Bible does mandate, it says, to repent and be baptized. And there are folks who say, well, that's change in the New Testament. That totally means the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It definitely means the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But if you remember, after Pentecost, Philip was with the Ethiopian eunuch, and he said, here is water. What does keep me from being baptized? And he stopped and baptized him. And I believe that's a valuable step. And I believe it's a time to draw that line. And if you've come to know Jesus, many of you have, and you haven't been baptized, I would encourage you to be baptized. Like I said, a little commercial here. But it goes with this. It goes with this. The lie is I can attach Jesus to my life and praise Him and say, I stay with my old ways. No, we're dying to our old life. We repent of our sin, forsake my sin, surrender my will to His, and I become a new creation in Christ. Well, I need to close. I have a lot more lies listed that will probably come out in the future, but that's what I felt God gave me for this morning. And I've labored hard over this message this morning, more burdened over the situation in our country and recognizing where the church is in regard to all of that. So I trust you'll receive this truth. Let's stand together for prayer. Lord, studying earlier this week, I was reading of the sower and the seed. The seed is the powerful truth, but I recognize there are different kinds of ground. And it can hit the path and bounce off. I'm not listening to that. In fact, I'm not even coming back. It can bounce off the hard ground, and that's up to us. Lord, I know that I'm not accountable for the kind of ground people offer. What I'm accountable is planting the seed of truth. Then there's the shallow ground. Oh boy, that sounds great. I'm going to jump on the bandwagon. But it was stony and shallow, and when the sun came out, it withered. When the trials come along, there's those that have offered shallow ground, and I'm not doing this. This is harder than I thought. Then there's the thorny patch that chokes out, and certainly America's full of thorns in our society of materialism, and so many things can choke out the word. But then there's that 25% that's the good ground that's broken and fertile and open and receives. I would ask that ground will receive the truth that we've tried to share today. I know this has been a little heavy today, but I would ask that you would help that the hard ground will be broken and receive the truth. Be with us as we go from this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, make His face shine upon you, and be gracious to you, and may the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. You're dismissed.